coming up on today's show. Normally we have Walnut Wednesday, but we can call this one Water Wednesday as well. We're talking about the drought today. In segment three, we'll hear about soil management for maximum soil health during the drought. But we start today with our state lawmakers. In Tuesday's show, we heard from Governor Gavin Newsom about his latest drought proclamation. Some state lawmakers joined him at his press conference and gave their thoughts as well. We want you to be able to hear their remarks without editing. It starts with Assemblyman Adam Gray.
Welcome to the Great Central Valley and the San Luis Reservoir. This is here in my assembly district. I'm Assemblyman Adam Gray. I represent the 21st Assembly District, Merced County and Stanislaus County. And we couldn't be more excited this afternoon to be hosting the governor to talk about some important investments. You know, every time we have a drought, it's always curious to me that we get a lot of elected officials and politicians up and down the state kind of scratching their head and saying, well, how did this happen? Well, the legislators here in the San Joaquin Valley, myself, Senator Caballero, Senator Hurtado, Congressman Costa, who's with us here today, we have a long track record of putting legislation forward to make the necessary investments in our water infrastructure. We have, for a half a century, underinvested in this space. And when I first met Gavin Newsom, he came through the valley and sat down with me, and we spent some time on water in that first conversation. We talked about the false narrative of fisher farmers, the false narrative of storage or no storage, and rather looking at a 21st century water policy that was an all of the above approach, investing in conservation, in upgrades to our existing infrastructure, and just doing what it takes to be resilient as we face climate change amidst other challenges. So it's just with great excitement that we're here this afternoon to embrace and take that next step forward in making a real investment in California's future. I'd like to introduce next a colleague of mine who's a fighter for the Central Valley, a fighter for water, a fighter for this community, Senator Ana Caballero.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A little bit taller than I am. Thank you very much, Assemblymember Gray, for that introduction. My name is Ana Caballero. I'm the senator that represents this region. Which two-thirds of the district, which includes the Central Valley Rural Agricultural District, District Number 12. And I'm really excited to be here, but also saddened, because this is not the first time that I've been to a press conference asking for some action because we're in the middle of a drought. I was here with Governor Schwarzenegger and with thousands of people from the Central Valley asking for some action, asking for the opportunity to make the real investments in our infrastructure that are going to make a difference so that we can stop the boom and bust cycle of drought and no water and a wet year, and we don't see benefits to the system because of that. And so I'm here today because this is a really important time in our state. In our state's history, one, because we're just finishing up one of the worst worldwide pandemics and one of the worst wildfire seasons that California has ever seen, and we're starting our next, or I guess it could be a continuation of a drought that's never left us. And so we fundamentally need to make the changes to our system that are going to build resiliency, that are going to create an opportunity for our residents to have clean drinking water, for our agricultural community to have the water that they need to be able to feed the world, and to be able to do it in a way that lifts the entire state. So I'm really excited that the governor is here. I know he's absolutely committed to getting this right. And we're here in unity to say it's time, we need to get it done, and we have resources in our budget to get it done. And you can see, based on the water level behind us, that we do need the resiliency in our water system. So I want to thank the governor for being here today. I think he's got a very, very important announcement that it will fundamentally help the Central Valley. And we're here united to say, let's get it done, and let's get it done this year. Next, I'd like to bring to the mic our congressman who has dedicated his life to solving water issues, and to bringing federal resources into the valley so that we can build the infrastructure that we need to be able to build the resiliency that we need. Congressman Costa.
I want to thank Senator Ana Caballero for those kind words, and Assemblymember Adam Gray, but it's really a team effort working with Senator Hurtado and the Valley delegation as we work together to represent the incredible people in this valley who we serve. Since I first took office in 1978, there have been 5 major droughts in California. Since 1978, 5 major droughts. As we know, it tends to be either feast or famine, more water than we know what to do with, or extremely, extremely dry periods as we're experiencing today. So we know droughts are nothing new. And this is a bad situation that with climate change is only getting worse. We're staring down at what could be a disastrous summer and fall with the potential of communities running out of water and fires. Our reservoirs are half their historical average. 90% of the snowpack has already melted because of last year's dry conditions, and water's being absorbed at a rate that we cannot even imagine because of the ground so dry. 8% of snowpack is left, in other words. Through 2020 and 2021, we've seen the second driest 2-year period on record, only second to the catastrophic drought of 1976 and 1977. Think about that. So we need a balanced approach. And the governor today is going to provide us the opportunity to structure between state and federal efforts that balanced approach using all the water tools in the water toolbox. And governor, we're glad you're here. There are many demands on our state's limited water resources, and with climate change, as I said, it becomes all too obvious. The demands on the operations of our water projects in dry years like this one requires that we strike a reasonable balance. And the State Water Quality Control Board has that responsibility, along with the Department of Water Resources and the entire resources agencies. We have to balance between competing uses of water for municipalities, for people, for agricultural use, to grow our food. Where water flows, food grows, and to make sure that we protect the environment. All difficult competing uses of water. Our water system is highly interconnected between the state and the federal projects. This project right here is jointly operated between the federal government and between the state of California. It was envisioned to be that way. But the human impact is real. As I said, I've lived through 5 of these droughts as an elected official in the state legislature and now in Washington. These farm communities here, during the last drought, not only had land fallow, but we had 40% unemployment in towns like Fireball and Mendota and Dos Palos. Imagine when almost half the people in town don't have a job, and the impacts to the schools and to the businesses. These are real human impacts that sadly we see repeating itself. So we know what the vulnerabilities are to our infrastructure system, and we have an opportunity to fix some of those things. We have to use all the water tools in our water toolbox to fix our broken water system, just as we must fix our broken immigration system. For example, we're standing here at San Luis Reservoir. We have an opportunity here because it's required for seismic retrofit to repair this dam. And in doing so, we can raise it 10 feet. That would add over 140,000 acre feet of additional water supply. The governor's announcement today will complement legislation that I and Senator Feinstein and others are carrying on the federal level. We have legislation that will provide $653 million of federal dollars for the California Aqueduct, for the Delta Mendota Canal, and for the Fryant-Kern Canal. And the state, for the first time, is going to partner with us. And, Governor, we're thankful for your support. Now, we want to make sure the canals are operating at full capacity. We want to complete Sites Reservoir. We want to raise San Luis Reservoir. There are a lot of water tools, including groundwater management, that Don Cameron will tell you farmers are eager to participate in. But I have the honor of introducing the governor of the great state of California. I've served, believe it or not, with seven governors. And Governor Gavin Newsom is working really hard every day to do a good job with difficult circumstances. He's had to deal with horrific fires. He's had to deal with mudslides and earthquakes. He's had to deal with a pandemic and now extreme drought. And at the same time, he's trying to solve the disagreements between the voluntary agreements and the biological opinions to implement SGMA. Being governor of California is not an easy job. It's not an easy job. And Governor Newsom every day is doing his best to solve and work with everybody to solve these problems so that we, in fact, can ensure that the Golden State of California remains the Golden State. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce the governor of the great state of California, the fifth largest economy in the world. Governor Newsom, we're glad you're here. Thank you.
We'll have more on the drought in segment three. Our news brief is coming up next. We'll be right back.
The My Ag Life Daily News Report is brought to you in part by the California Walnut Board.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Here's your news brief for today. State water agencies, the California Water Data Consortium, and Environmental Defense Fund announced a new partnership Tuesday to make an open-source groundwater accounting platform freely available to help groundwater sustainability agencies manage the transition to sustainable supplies. Collaborative efforts are underway among the Department of Water Resources, the State Water Resources Control Board, the consortium, and the EDF to adapt and scale the groundwater accounting platform that was co-developed by EDF and Rosedale Rio Bravo Water Storage District with technical support from Sitka Technology Group, OpenET, Westwater Research, and Olson Engineering, along with funding from Water Foundation and other supporters. Use of the groundwater accounting platform is entirely voluntary. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor indicates widening coverage of drought nationwide, and here in the West in particular, raising concerns for water managers and growers. Rod Bain reports.
The concern grows about the growing coverage of drought in the continental U.S. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says, in fact, the U.S. Drought Monitor for the period ending May 4th approached historic levels.
There have only been four times in the history of the Drought Monitor that we have seen more than 40% U.S. drought coverage as we come into early May.
So as of the first week of May 2021,
the U.S. drought coverage is 46.6% of the lower 48 states in drought. That is a 2.6 percentage point increase from what we saw near the end of March when we saw drought coverage at 43.9%.
A major area of drought concern over the last few months has been the West, the epicenter for most of the U.S. drought coverage. And Rippey says not much change coverage-wise month over month.
If you look at the 11-state western region, we see now a remarkable 84% drought coverage on May 4th. That's a 9 percentage point increase from 75% drought coverage at the end of March.
Perhaps more telling, all states but one in the West region, Washington State, experienced some form of D3 or extreme drought or higher entering into the month of May.
Top of the list is Utah with 90% D3 to D4 coverage, closely followed by Arizona at 87%. North Dakota coming onto that list, incredibly dry in North Dakota going back to late summer of 2020, 85% coverage of D3. And then we see New Mexico coming in 81% D3 to D4 coverage, and Nevada at 74% D3 to D4 coverage.
This latest rise in drought coverage has also increased the worry of both water managers and ag producers about available H2O supplies going into the spring and summer irrigation season. Rippey says other than the northern tier of the West and the eastern slopes of the Rockies from Montana to Colorado, where snowpack levels remain appreciable,
the snow is either melting or has already melted, so we're not going to get any more replenishment of reservoirs.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Bloggers, chefs, dietitians, and other personalities have become valued communicators for the California Avocado Marketing Program. They work with the California Avocado Commission, consumer public relation programs, health and wellness initiatives, social media outreach, website content development, and other marketing programs. For the 2021 season, CAC is partnering with six popular bloggers. These influencers are creating unique recipes showcasing California avocados. For example, in March, Ashley Boyd of Pink Owl Kitchen promoted her recipe, Tropical Avocado Smoothie, featuring California avocados and including four fruits and herbs. Blogger Brandy Crawford gave avocado toast a produce-loving twist, using planks of sweet potato as the toast and topping them with mashed California avocados. She also added options for savory additions or fresh berries. The other four bloggers in the program also are building awareness for California avocados throughout the season. One report USDA issues every month is the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASD, report, which includes sophisticated analysis that is available to everyone. Stephanie Ho has more.
USDA issues its World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASD, report once a month.
What the WASD does is it provides a much bigger picture perspective.
Mark Jackanowski is chair of the World Agricultural Outlook Board, which prepares and releases the global report on commodities like corn, soybeans, and wheat.
So it takes the NAS information on supply and compares it against a whole range of data on the uses of those commodities to establish an overall view of how tight the markets are, you know, whether demand is exceeding supply or if production is exceeding demand and we're building up stocks.
The report also plays a financial role.
The WASD is a very significant report because it helps to set prices. It helps with the price discovery process. And we believe, therefore, that it makes markets operate more efficiently.
To better understand the WASD, it's important to understand how it evolved.
The first WASD was released in 1973.
It used to be an internal report that USDA used to help formulate farm programs. In 1980, an international component was added, and it started to be issued regularly.
For all of the supply components, acreage and yield and ultimately production, those estimates come primarily from NAS, the National Ag Statistics Service, who are tasked with putting out extensive farmer surveys.
Many sources go into the demand side of the balance sheet.
We use information from the census when it comes to exports and imports of the different commodities, and information from the Foreign Agricultural Service for overseas production, and Energy Information Administration data for things like renewable fuel production and ethanol production.
If there are factual errors in the WASD, it is reissued.
We put it out with kind of a notation on the file itself, noting that it's a different version, and we place text on our website specifying exactly what was changed, what the error was, and what the corrected data is.
At the same time, there often are differences of opinion.
And we get a lot of questions about that. We get sometimes criticism. We get public criticism about it at times if specific analysts or journalists might disagree with the numbers. But that's not an error.
Meanwhile, the people putting the report together are forbidden from having any financial interest in the commodities markets.
We work for USDA, and we don't have any vested interest in what the outcome is of the markets or the WASD itself. It's completely unbiased. It's completely objective.
Which, he adds, results in a report that helps level the playing field.
It gives everyone in the public, consumers, farmers, to grain traders, everyone else, essentially free access to the same same type of information, you know, that otherwise very sophisticated traders would have to put together on their own.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
That's our news brief for today. Up next, we continue our drought coverage. We'll be right back.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Agromayor Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agromayora has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Rootpak R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agromayora can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Rootpak 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today.
Soil health is always important, and perhaps even more so during a drought. I talked with Dr. Carl Wyant, Vice President of Ag Science at Helier Agriculture, about soil health in a recent webinar. Here's our conversation. So you just had a webinar trying to keep growers informed. Tell me a little bit about what your webinar was about.
Sure. We did a recent webinar, and it was about the connection between your soil microbes, that's your bacteria and fungi, and your soil moisture. And this is top of mind for a lot of growers that are listening to this. We have 97 million people that are experiencing drought right now across the United States. And that includes most of the western half of the country and the northern plains. And that drought arm even extends up into Canada considerably, Manitoba and Saskatchewan and Alberta. So there's drought occurring across the North America right now. And our webinar focused on putting those microbes to work, the bacteria and fungi, to help you manage your soil moisture. And that sounds kind of crazy, but the mechanism is super cool. When you have a healthy soil microbiome, you have a good population of bacteria and a good population of fungi, they secrete glues and they grow these nets called hyphae, and that helps your soil stick together. And when you have well-structured, well-aggregated soil, you can store a lot more soil moisture. And that soil, that's moisture that's coming from your irrigation if you're out west, or it's irrigation, you know, coming from snow runoff or even rainfall. You can put a lot more water into the ground when you have good soil structure.
As you mentioned, with so many areas in drought right now, and then separately, also, there's a big focus on soil health, currently. So putting the two together, seeing how your soil health really affects your water needs, which, if, you know, growers have known for a long time, but the intricacies, I guess, of it is very interesting.
Yeah, that's right. And that's this really cool line of research that's showing these little microbes in your ground can have such a profound impact on across your production system. And I've mentioned that putting the microbes to work can help you with your soil structure. And when you have good soil structure, you can bring more water into the ground because it can penetrate and infiltrate across the soil profile. And then on a much more microscopic level, you can store more moisture around the aggregate themselves, or you can store more moisture in the pore space that exists now between your newly created soil structure. So your net is like filling up the bathtub even more for your crop to drink from, you know, down through the season. and not just in the surface of the soil, but across that profile. So your plant has a good reserve of water.
And did you have guests with you on the webinar?
No, I was the one doing all the talking, whether the webinar guests liked it or not. But no, it was just me. But we had a lot of great participation and a lot of great interest. And this was an internationally attended webinar. We had folks from Canada. We had folks from Brazil. One piece that maybe most folks aren't familiar with is Brazil just went through this crazy drought in our winter of 2020. It's their summer. So if you look at Brazil's drought map, when they were out planting soybeans this past year, I mean, the same reds and orange colors for the drought map, exceptionally dry, not a lot of soil moisture. So they had the same anxiety that our growers are facing right now in North America. Brazil just went right through it. And the growers that really proactively manage their soil microbes, a lot of them were able to push through that drought from a moisture storage capacity. And then on the other side with microbes, there's a noted relationship between the abiotic stress management. So with drought, that's heat and dry soils, microbes have also been noted to help crops push through those events as well. So a good microbiome can help you on both sides of a drought, whether it's storing moisture or pushing through the abiotic stress, the non-living stress that a crop can experience.
What are some things you can do to make sure that you have a good and healthy soil microbiome?
That's a great question. One piece you can do is measure your soil health, and there's lots of ways to do that. There's plenty of laboratories that are offering soil health kits and soil health packages. So you can, when you're sending in your soil nutrient and pH samples, you can check the box that says soil health package, and they can return to you some information on just the overall soil health status of your fields. And when you see some results come back that indicate this field doesn't have a whole lot of microbiological activity going on, you can then make some management decisions to help change that. And one piece you can do to help manage your microbes is to feed them. And so our product Phycoterra, and even our seed treatment product Phycoterra ST, we can feed those soil microbes, boost their populations. And I mentioned that Brazil drought just now. We had soybeans planted in just some terrible drought conditions, and we've received our trial results back just now, and we're seeing 5-to-1 ROI and some really impressive yield advantages over grower standard where they didn't employ the soil microbiome to help them mitigate drought impact.
And you mentioned soybeans, and obviously in California, we don't have a whole lot of soybeans, but soil health is important for every crop. Is this managed differently for different types of crops, or is it soil is soil? And that's my non-farmer question of the day.
That's a great question. So soil is soil. One cool thing about microbes, and this will gross you out if you're a germaphobe, but microbes are everywhere. I mean, they don't live in one soil and not live in the other. They are everywhere, whether you're in Western Canada or in Brazil, in North Dakota, or even out in permanent crops in California. These microbes are there, and their function is very similar. These microbes, it doesn't matter where you go, they still secrete glues. They still secrete these hyphal nets. They can still put your soil back together, regardless of if you're a clay soil or a sandy soil or a loam soil, they're all there. They're just waiting to be, put to work and leveraged in your operation. So we had widespread drought in 2020. Didn't make the news quite as much as the 2021 drought did, but we saw growers who leveraged their soil microbiome in the 2020 drought come through it, with an advantage over grower standard, even last year when the signal started showing up.
So is this something that you want to, is it something you want to get on, immediately right away? Is it something that you just create, keep it part of your permanent plan for soil health? Or is it a one-time and fix?
Yeah, so one thing about soil microbes is that, they don't live very long. So your management decisions need to kind of focus on this longer term, impacting your soil microbiome. So you can look at it within the season. So that's where some of these food source products come in, like Phycoterra or our Phycoterra ST, where you can have an immediate impact within the season, you know, set your microbiome up to perform for you and help to mitigate some of these drought stresses and begin to build your soil moisture. Over the long term, there's been a lot more focus on management that's looking at, you know, my soil health says, you know, samples say this, I have a low biology score. Here's some longer term management decisions that I can make that'll take that soil from being a low biological score to a high biological score. And those are things like, you know, adding the microbial foods certainly into your growing program year over year. But there's also some really cool research that shows in you know, putting cover crops in the rotation, adding compost and manures to your rotation or your cropping plan, and also trying to reduce tillage where you can. So there's, you can have a short and a longer term vision for improving your soil health and improving your moisture management.
All right, good information. I know there's a lot more information in the webinar as well. So for people who want to really study this and get all that information from you, where can they find the webinar?
Sure, we have a website where we store this webinar. It's pre-recorded. So you can go to www.phycoterra.com. We have a webinar link on the page, and you can open it up and find the recording of the webinar.
Thank you again to Dr. Carl Wyant. More on the Governor's Drought Declaration right after this.
Having problems with nematodes? ProMax is your number one solution. ProMax is a powerful fungicide and nematicide that works to kill and control nematodes and soil-borne disease. ProMax is a powerful and easy-to-use product in your fields. WaterRight Technologies is your source for this powerful solution. Visit WRTAG.com/ProMax for more information.
In case you missed it in yesterday's show, we have for you Governor Gavin Newsom's comments on his expanded drought emergency proclamation.
Thank you, Congressman, and thank you all of the esteemed leaders that are assembled here. And I'll mention a number of our key agency leaders, but I appreciate the Congressman recognizing Don Cameron in particular. I just want to recognize Wade Crowfoot, head of our Natural Resources Agency, and the team that he's assembled here, and from the water departments represented by a number of key leaders that I'll introduce in a moment. But I want to just to highlight why we're here. It's self-evident to many folks that the hots are getting a lot hotter in this state. The dries are getting a lot drier. We have to recognize that we're living in a world that we were not designed to live in. We have a system, conveyance system, a water system that was designed for a world that no longer exists. And it's incumbent upon us to acknowledge that, incumbent upon us to reimagine a different future, much more resilient, much more vibrant, much more dynamic water delivery system here in this state. 3 weeks ago, literally 3 weeks ago, we announced a state of emergency, a proclamation of a declaration of emergency in the Russian River watershed, impacting just two counties in the state, notably Sonoma County and Mendocino County. Today, building on that proclamation, we are extending a proclamation of a state of emergency to 39 additional counties in the state of California. Now, all in total, 41 counties are in a drought emergency. As we said at the time, just 3 weeks ago, we were going to flex up based upon need. We'd look at the issue of hydrology. We'd look at the issue of snow melt. We look at the issues of preparedness, and we do so in real time. Accordingly, we make that commitment in an iterative process as we move forward into the second year of a drought to keep an open mind and to be mindful of the dynamics and the changing conditions as it relates to hydrology, as it relates to snowmelt, as it relates to storage, conveyance, and the like here in the state. Let me just talk about the last 3+ weeks. In the last few weeks, we've lost roughly 500,000 acre feet of runoff compared to what we had anticipated, which put into language that I hope people can understand is the equivalent of 1 million households receiving water for a year. That's just in the last number of weeks in the state of California. What we've experienced is what some had predicted, but no one necessarily experienced, and that was snowmelt so acute that it didn't actually run off into reservoirs or rivers, but it actually seeped into the dry, parched ground underneath, much of it evaporating completely. The snowmelt has been precipitous, and it's happened primarily because of drought conditions preceding this year's snowpack, but also because of the warmer temperatures that all of us have experienced over the course of the last number of weeks. This all off a year 2020, which was the third driest year in recorded history here in the state of California. So this drought, though the second year of a drought, happening just a few years after the end of a five-year drought that began in 2012 and ended in 2016, in many respects is familiar, but in other respects is more challenging and more acute than we could have imagined. I'm standing here in front of a reservoir that's about 57% of its seasonal average in terms of capacity, 49% of its total capacity. That runs roughly equivalent, plus or minus, to what you're seeing in reservoirs all across the state. While the snowpack came in relatively well this year, and the April snowpack, though modest, the acute conditions have created even more challenges for these reservoirs and our capacity to meet the needs of 40 million thirsty Californians. And so this drought proclamation should provide us flexibility, should address issues around conveyance, working with water agreements, different water agencies, allow us more flexibility at a local and regional basis, allow us some reprieve around CEQA regulations and permitting permitting issues, as well as issues associated with contracting, some relief. But at the end of the day, that's not good enough. And that's why we're also pleased to announce today $5.1 billion, a record investment into water resiliency and water infrastructure in this state. $5.1 billion. Just today, we announced the state of California is running an operating surplus of $75.7 billion. $75.7 billion. We're using that surplus and the support, Congressman Costa's critical support of $26 billion from the federal stimulus, to make investments in critical infrastructure. No more critical need than addressing the water needs here in the Central Valley, but also the water needs all up and down the state of California, watersheds large and small, not just the new and substantive declaration today as it relates to the Sacramento-San Joaquin watershed, the Delta watersheds, and Tulare watershed, but also what's happening up Northern California, the Klamath watershed, what's happening with small water systems all up and down the state of California that rely on depleted groundwater. What's happening broadly to an agricultural industry that's working through the new guidelines and requirements, responsibilities under SGMA. The challenges for habitat and wildlife and the Pacific Flyway, issues related all to this drought emergency. How can we flex and make the critical investments that we need long-term on issues of conveyance and distributions, issues related to infrastructure like rebuilding canals, but also how can we be mindful in the short run of some of the critical needs for habitat, for steelhead and salmon as it relates to cold water temperatures that we need to allow for at peril of some extinction issues occurring on our watch later this year. Not hyperbole to suggest that. What can we do in terms of more resiliency on floodplains and watersheds, and how can we invest in habitat that can bring us back to some semblance of historic normalcy to allow us, again, more resilience through these extremes year in and year out in the state of California? How do we provide emergency supplies, emergency grants to those same water systems? That's all part of that $5.1 billion package. How do we secure the needs of small water systems at the same time meet the needs of million plus Californians that not only don't have access to safe, affordable, and clean drinking water, but also can't pay their water bills because of this pandemic-induced recession. And that's why we're also pleased to announce today, in addition to the drought proclamation, now including 41 counties in the state of California, in addition to the $5.1 billion that we will invest in water portfolio and water infrastructure investments in the state of California, we're also proposing for consideration of the legislature an additional $1 billion to help people offset their water bills. And in turn, particularly for small water systems, provide some stability for those water systems that are in peril of financial insolvency related to not only this pandemic, but the extreme drought that we're experiencing. So $1 billion will also be invested in that effort. So that's the totality, at least in the immediate of the actions. And by the way, when I say immediate, many of these actions are emergency actions, emergency appropriations. Many are medium-term strategies, and yes, those long overdue strategies, all in expectation and in partnership with the federal government, recognizing that's the way it used to be done. When President Kennedy was right here in 1962, and you could see the quote when they did the groundbreaking for this site, it was about partnerships, federal and state partnerships. To be big, you got to be big in big things. And there's nothing bigger than the work that was done in the 1950s to invest in this infrastructure, Northern, Southern California, this remarkable conveyance system that helped us build the world's largest middle class and helped obviously make California, not just California, but this nation as vibrant, as strong as it is. And we recognize our responsibility in the future to do more and do better, mindful of the changing conditions, mindful of climate change, mindful of the reality that not having a drought increasingly is becoming the, well, that's the anomaly. It's really not anomalous any longer not to be in a drought when you consider what's happened in the Western United States, not just here in California, since 2000. And so we're here with expectation. We're here with some relief.
That's our show for today. If you'd like to send me some comments or interview suggestions, you can email me at sabrina@myaglife.com. This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson from the JCS Marketing Team. Thanks for listening.